When God wants us to do great things, church, He wants us to go first, to step out in faith and to lead the way. People will never follow us unless we're willing to lead by example and to the very things that we're calling them to do. Our Jesus is the greatest teacher and did something very similar. He wanted to teach His disciples about serving others, but instead of just telling them, okay, you need to serve, Skylar, you need to serve. No, no, no. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He showed them.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to In Christ Radio in our Hope Restored series as we conclude Nehemiah chapter 5. Throughout this chapter, we've seen Nehemiah confront injustice, restore unity, and protect God's people. Now in these closing verses, we discover why his leadership carried so much weight. In today's title, One Great Example, Nehemiah never asked the people to do something he wasn't willing to do himself. He sacrificed personal comfort, refused to abuse his position, worked alongside the people, and led with the fear of God instead of the love of power. Centuries later, Jesus would perfectly model the same kind of leadership when he said he came not to be served, but to serve. Leadership in God's kingdom always begins with character before influence. God uses leaders whose lives reinforce the message they proclaim. Your greatest sermon may never be preached from a pulpit. It may be the example you live every day. Today's question we ask, if your family, coworkers, or church followed your example, what kind of disciples would they become? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 14 through 19 in today's lesson, One Great Example.
Best-selling author Stephen Covey writes, quote, "The difference manifests itself in the care taken by the servant first to make sure that other people's highest priority needs are being served," end quote. Think about what he just said. He said, the attitude we need to have is I need to look over your needs. I need to make sure you're doing well. I need to see how you are. This is a great business model, but this is a great church model. Putting people's needs. How are you? The Bible tells us that putting others' needs above yourselves, you become successful when? When you make others successful. You become successful. Let me give you the fifth one, learning from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, servant leaders are good stewards. They're good stewards. You go, what do you mean? Notice verse 17. He says, "And at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us." So first and foremost, I want you to see his heart. He said, look, we continued to work in the wall. All my servants gathered there for the work. He didn't uplift anybody. Oh, Pastor Soph, you're an assistant pastor. Okay, you don't have to do the work, Soph. No, okay, you don't need to do that. No, Ron, you don't. You see, that's not the mentality of the church. The mentality of the church is like, come on, leadership by example. How are we doing this? Let's go. All right, guys, time to clean. Who's going to do it? Oh, no, this is it. It's, hey, what can we do? His servants are working. And then he says, and those at my table, well, there was a lot of people there. You see, Nehemiah had food provided for him and his court as governor of the region, but was much more than he ever needed. Indeed, as he looked around, he saw people all over. Starvation was spreading throughout the workers and the famine. His impact grew. We saw that in the first four chapters. Do you guys remember reading that? And Nehemiah, instead of hoarding and keeping for himself during the times of great shortage, he invited 150 Jews to eat at his table. Every night, come on in. Nehemiah had everybody at his table. He had blue collar, white collar, no collar. And I love what he's teaching us. Nehemiah teaches us that as servant leaders aren't driven by money or personal gain, but are motivated by loving people and doing what's best for them. Think about that. You want a marriage principle? You want a marriage principle right here? It's right here. You go, what's that? Be a servant leader to your wife. Be a servant leader to your husband. You're not driven by personal gain. Well, I'm going to do this because you did. It's like, look, I'm here to serve you. I'm motivated by loving people, and I want what's best for them. Verse 18, as we make our way through Nehemiah, says, now that which was prepared daily, he gives us, was an ox, 6 choice sheep. The fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet, in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provision, because the bondage was heavy on the people. Oh, Lord, to have a heart like Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, this is what was given to me. And not once did I demand it. Not once did I come and say, this is what I deserve, you people. We've had outside opposition, inside opposition. You guys can't get along. We're trying to build a wall for Pete's sake. Nehemiah didn't say that. Nehemiah goes, you know what? This is what was given to me. And I shared it. And I saw people, and I saw the needs of people, and I saw the hurt of people. It's at this point in our Bible study that we have to do a heart check, don't you think? And we have to say, hey, what are we hoarding up that we should be giving away? What are we hoarding up? Well, I'm guilty. Give it away. See others blessed. How much food do we really need? And again, we have to do a heart check because notice Nehemiah's heart. He says the bondage on the people, it was heavy. It was heavy. I got to be honest with you, church. I know you're going to leave me up here all alone. I get that. But there are times when I look at the bondage of my own life versus the bondage of somebody else. What I'm going through, what I need, these are my... Paul tells us what? Not only the interest of others, but your interest as well. Nehemiah, in his own life, guys, lived the way he told nobles and rulers to live. Not to take personal advantage of others' needs. He did what a godly leader must do. He never expected more of his followers than he expected of himself. Nehemiah made sure that everyone had enough so they could give God their best when rebuilding the walls. Think of Sam Walton. Now, I know Walmart's changed completely, but Sam Walton, guys, the founder of Walmart, he despised those corporate fat cats. He could and would and handle the cash register as well as stock the shelves at any of his Walmart stores. He drove an old, rusty, dented pickup, not to prove a point, but because it still had plenty of good mileage left in it. It could be said that Sam Walton was a servant leader. Something's changed. I think there are times when the church gets really big and it's considered a mega church, and the pastor then becomes a rock star. And he's ushered in and ushered off, and he's not the shepherd of the sheep. It's easy for me to say because we're not a mega church, but the heart of the matter is that we need to be with the heart of the people. And I love when mega church pastors still get down and talk to people and love people. Now, I understand 14,000 people, everybody wants to talk to you. You got to have some balance, but where's your heart? Your heart was people. Nehemiah 5:19 says, Nehemiah writes, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Now, you need to know he's not bragging here. He's not going, okay, God, remember me. Look, I had to put up with... He's not saying that at all. Remember, this was his little journal that he didn't think anybody would see. And Nehemiah did not look for the praise of men, but he wanted to honor and minister to God. In fact, Nehemiah probably originally intended that no one else see this part of the book. It's kind of that like little secret diary that he was just writing, and he says, remember me. Let me just say this to you guys, by way of application, applying what we've learned today, in our own private time with the Lord, it's entirely appropriate and right to say, remember me, my God, for good, and to have confidence in our heavenly reward instead of the praise of men. Instead of the praise of men. The one thing that I had to learn very quickly in becoming the senior pastor is you're going to get a lot of compliments and people are going to love you. And then you're going to get people who go, man, they're going to just trash you. And what you do is you find yourself somewhere in the middle. You don't believe all the great, oh, pastor, that was so good. Oh, my gosh. We've been looking for a church like this for 30 years. Oh, my gosh. Okay, God bless you. I won't see you again. And that's the truth. We've had people from California come in here and go, oh, we went to Great Glory's church. We're so glad that Calvary Chapel's here. So you go, pastor, the point. Here's the point. Listen, we do it for what? Not for the praise of men. And when somebody, you know, somebody gets behind here and he leads a good Bible study, and after service somebody goes, man, that was really good. You say, praise God. Praise God. You get up on the in the worship team and you say and go, man, that worship just really touched my heart. Praise God. Why? Because the goal is here is the heavenly reward. Lord, did I please your heart? Did I minister to your heart? Unfortunately, as humans, we're looking for the pats on the back, the attaboys, the good jobs. And I love encouragement as much as the next guy. But when we're mopping the floor and nobody sees, when you're here and you're mopping and nobody's patting you on the back, and it's like, well, who are you doing it for? You're doing it for the Lord. I want to have the heart that God has. And you go, what heart is that? First and foremost, to look at people the way God sees them and how they're going to be. I want to see beautiful pieces of furniture, not just big old stumps of wood. Well, that's nothing good but for firewood. That's not what we want. We go, God, you're going to do something amazing. Why? Because we're living testimonies, aren't we, of God doing something great. But you can honestly say, God's not done with me yet. He's still working on me. He's still chopping away. He's still sanding down, and there's going to be a great thing. I love the heart of Nehemiah, because notice what he said. He's writing this diary, if you will, and he says, according to all that I have done to these people. And we should be glad that God took his personal diary of Nehemiah and gave it to us. And you go, why? It shows us that a leader must first lead by example, and that Nehemiah could tell others to do what was right because of his own walk was right. Isn't that the, come on somebody, real talk? Isn't that the hardest thing to do? When we're not walking right with God, it's hard to tell somebody else to walk right with God, isn't it? You're like, I can't say anything. I'm a mess. Nobody knows. But when we're trying to serve the Lord, and you're just like, man, I get it. Get it. But you realize that people are people. They're messed up. They're broken. Amen. And getting with somebody and having a cup of coffee and seeing right where they're at, that's the goal. It's okay. Oh, no, Pastor Ben, that's not what we do. We need to lay down the law. Well, I get that the Word of God says these things, but Nehemiah is just showing us. He's like, Lord, here's something you can write down. Nehemiah's public words and his private actions said the same thing. Let me say this. You ready? Conviction time? Anybody want? Yeah? No? Okay. I'll say it anyway. Thanks, Soph. He's in agreement. Are we the same person at work or out? Are we the same person at home than we are out? Are we the same person at our jobs than we are at home? I understand. You go home, you feel safe. I can't believe that. And then you go out. Hey, how are you? God bless you. Good to see you, brother. And everybody thinks you're one way. And Nehemiah is teaching us that his public words were the same thing at home. I've got a lot of work to do. I've got a lot of work to do. But Nehemiah is teaching us how to be a great leader, guys. The generosity, his heart to see people, his heart to love people, to do something. God will direct you on what you can do and what you can't do. God will tell you what to give and what you can't give. But I want to have that heart. All right, guys, as we get ready to close, we still got a little bit, but just kind of know we're kind of landing this plane because we finished the chapter. But let's go back and let's rehash. A servant leader is what we want to be. A servant leader leads by example. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, set an example for the believer, Timothy, in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Paul tells Timothy, be an example. Be an example. How and what? Be an example for the believer in what you say, in the way you live, how you love, and in your faith, and in purity. And impurity. Nehemiah is a leader by example. See, Nehemiah didn't just call people to work on rebuilding the wall. He was at the forefront of it. Nehemiah never asked and didn't do. Hey, can you do this? He never waited for his neighbor, his friends, but he trusted God for the calling on his life. And he was willing to step out, lead the way, and put the mission of rebuilding the walls first. First and foremost, God had called them to rebuild the walls. The temple was already laid. They could worship. They could connect with God. But they were afraid. The security was, and this needed to be done. And Nehemiah He just taps men on the shoulder. He taps women on the shoulder and says, hey, can you get this done? Can you get it done? Nehemiah always led the way rather than calling people to go first. Hey, let's go, come on. When he heard about all the rubble in Jerusalem, he first went to the king by himself to get permission to go back to Jerusalem. When Nehemiah arrived there, he went by himself to evaluate the rubble, the despair of the wall. And when he called the people to rebuild the wall, he worked right alongside them day and night. In fact, when the threat of war was looming, Nehemiah slept with his boots on and his weapon by his side. Nehemiah always went first. When God wants us to do great things, church, he wants us to go first, to step out in faith and to lead the way. People will never follow us unless we're willing to lead by example and to the very things that we're calling them to do. Jesus, our Jesus, is the greatest teacher and did something very similar. He wanted to teach his disciples about serving others, but instead of just telling them, okay, you need to serve, Skylar, you need to serve. No. What did Jesus do? He showed them. In John chapter 13, verse 3, at the Last Supper, what did he do? He got it from the table. He put a towel around him. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. They were like, wait, can you imagine if you fully understood that this is God, God incarnate right here? And he's going, okay, I'm going to serve you. No, that's why Peter said, no, you're not going to wash me. It's not right. And Jesus said, no, Pete, you don't understand. If I don't wash you, you have no part with all, then wash all of me. Whoever wants to be a leader, remember Jesus said, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Jesus knew that we would learn best by watching him and actually serve and experiencing what true service really is. In Nehemiah, it says then, the other workers followed suit. And that's what happens when we lead by an example. So by way of recapping, we're going to talk about this. Number one, our attitude at Calvary Chapel should be, we are in this together. I don't like when somebody says, your church. It's not my church. It's our church. I'm here for our church. Together. We're in this together. We're working for the kingdom. We want to build the kingdom. We want to see more people join our family. We want to see more people saved and serving Jesus. We're in this together. God did an amazing thing by saying, okay, we're going to have a building and we're going to call it church, but that's not the church. The church comes in here, it gets edified, it gets fed, it gets loved on, it gets ministered to, and then he puts us out there. And then he puts people in your way and in your path so you're able to minister. And you can share the love. What are we supposed to do, guys? We're giant reflectors. We just reflect the love of Jesus onto others. We're in this together. Number two, as servant leaders, we seek the well-being of others. I want to be a church that says, what can we do? What can we do? How can we help? We need to be a church that is, our yes is yes and our no is no. If we can't help, we can't help. If we can, we'll do our very best. If we have to gather the troops and say, okay, guys, we need to raise some money because sister or brother so-and-so need it, this is what we're going to do. We need to seek the well-being of others. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Number three, servant leaders at Calvary Chapel make personal sacrifices for the sake of others. You go, what does that mean? We need to do heart checks. We need to do personal inventories. Okay, Lord, where am I? What do we need to do? And you guys are doing great. Don't leave here. Oh man, we're not doing that. No, I want to learn more. I want that. What personal sacrifices do we need to make for the sake of others? Raul Reese, many of you may know Raul Reese, Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs. Raul Reese had bought a Safeway building. Jesse, you probably remember this. Raul Reese bought a Safeway building. They were outgrowing everything. The payment on the Safeway building for them was like $115,000 a month. And he went to his staff that got the building. It's like $140,000. I don't even know, guys. Like, don't quote me, but I know it was over $100,000 a month for the payment. This is Southern California. And he went to his staff and he said, listen, we're not going to be able to get paid for about a month or so. And the staff, who was usually getting a check, this is their life, this is their family, said, okay, we're still in this for the sake of the gospel. That blows my mind. But he was a great example of a personal sacrifice for the sake. And now, of course, if you look up Calvary Chapel, is it Diamond Bar? Diamond Bar now. Number four for our church, servant leaders look after the needs of their followers. Servant leaders look after their needs. What does that look like in our lives? Number five, servant leaders are good stewards. They're good stewards. We're going to take what God has dropped in the box, all that, what's he going to do? We're going to take that and we're going to be good stewards of it. We're going to get the gospel out. We're going to get the gospel out by radio. We're going to get the gospel out, how whatever it takes, but we're going to be good stewards. There are certain things that our church needs, certain things that our church needs, but we want to be good stewards. So I can walk in here and I rub my forehead because I know we need new carpet. This carpet's been here since we've been here. We need new carpet, and the estimate is 10 grand. And it's like, Lord, do we really have this? Is this something we can get away? I want to be a good steward of what you give us, God. Okay, we can get away with this for a little bit longer as long as we can get the gospel out here. Whatever it takes. Number six, we're called to lead by example. We're called to lead by example. And here's the goal, to lead when nobody's watching. When nobody's watching, nobody, hey, good job, all right, hey, thank you. But to lead, to serve in children's ministry, to serve on the worship team, to clean the church. Nobody's watching you scrub the toilets. Thank you, Lord. I want to be a good example. I want to be a good example. This is what God is calling us to do. This is the heart of Nehemiah for our church. See what God will do in the coming months. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth in your word, Lord. We thank you, God, for just the great lesson, God, that you have for us in the book of Nehemiah. Father, our heart is to minister to you, to love on you, to tell you how much we love you, Lord. Oftentimes we do that through song, Lord. And what do you want us to do, Lord? Direct our paths. Help us to be a good leader. Help us to be good servants, God, as we minister to you. With every eye closed and every head bowed, is there anyone here tonight in the sound of my voice or those watching online? Or maybe you're listening via podcast or through the radio. We want to make sure that you heard the gospel and that maybe the Lord ministered to you today and that you need to make a commitment to him. Maybe you feel like you've, at one point you surrendered, but now you're far from God, and tonight he's knocking on your heart. And I want to be a church that ministers to you. So if you're here tonight or you're watching online, God sees you. You can drop us a comment. But if you're here tonight, in the sound of my voice, and maybe you just need somebody to pray with you or somebody to just talk to, maybe you just need to recommit your life to Jesus. If that's you, I just want you to lift up your hand. Nobody will see you. It's between you and the Lord. Say, Pastor Ben, would you pray for me? I feel like I'm far from God and I want to be right with him. Holy Spirit, will you do that work that you always do so amazingly? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today. Help us to be what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
Next time on Hope Restored series, the enemy returns with a new strategy. Unable to stop the work through ridicule, fear, or internal conflict, he'll now try distraction and deception. In Nehemiah chapter 6, we'll discover why one of the greatest threats to God's work is being pulled away from God's calling in the lesson titled, Smoke and Mirrors. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. And his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.